Save big on your landscape project at Menards. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a beautiful border for your landscape with our interlock edgers on sale now through March 22nd. Save big on landscape block at Menards. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. This is Avery After Dark, and I'm your host, Avery Ross. And boy, oh boy, do I have a scary story for you. It's in my top creepiest hauntings of all time, because it feels like something straight out of a nightmare. A family moves into a house in Mansfield, Connecticut, and almost immediately they can tell something is very wrong with their house. They start feeling a presence in the home, and it gets bad, quick. At one point, a police officer stayed in the house and ended up running out, terrified. You know, that's a bad sign. That's a really bad sign. So I want you to get cozy. Grab a blankie, maybe some snacks. It's about to get very scary. This is the true story of the Mansfield Haunting. It was 1994. Amy Moore and her three children were dealing with a traumatizing event. Amy had just gone through a bad divorce, and the entire family was just trying to cope, trying to figure out what the next chapter of their lives looks like. The number one priority on Amy's checklist: find a new home, a place she could start fresh. And she was looking for a house in Mansfield, Connecticut, tucked away in the quiet woods, far from the noise of city life, sits Mansfield. Old colonial homes sit scattered along winding roads, surrounded by dense forest that stretches on for miles. Mansfield is the kind of town that feels peaceful, the kind of place she would want to start a new chapter. The house was going to be for Amy and her teenage daughter, Alyssa. Her other children were older, so Amy was searching for the right place. One day, while driving through town, she came upon a property, a historic Connecticut mansion. It was huge, but the house was in need of some major work. It was a fixer-upper, to put lightly. Windows broken, paint peeling, overgrown trees. It was clear this house had been empty for quite a while. The mansion was eerily peaceful, though. It was surrounded by fields, woods, and no neighbors in sight. Amy and Alyssa pulled up outside the mansion. Amy took one look at it and saw potential. But Alyssa, she got an eerie feeling from the first moment she laid eyes on the house. That sinking feeling, like, don't move here. But Amy really thought the bones of the home were great. And she was excited as she looked over and saw a huge sign out front. House going to auction, sealed bids, and a phone number. She calls and schedules a meeting with the property manager the next day. Wow, this seems like it's meant to be. She gets to the mansion the next day, and the property manager begins walking her around the house. They do a tour of the basement first, as Amy wants to check the foundation of the home, knowing it was older. The basement was dark and damp. Amy notices a large stone structure in the middle of the basement. She asks the property manager, "Hey, what's this?" And he's like, "I have no idea." They continue on with the tour, working their way into the house. It was 3 floors, 9 bedrooms. So much space, but it was clear this was going to be a massive job. The interior of the house was in the same state as the exterior. It needs tons of work. There is moldy wallpaper hanging off the walls. It's dirty. Amy said there were dead rodents inside. The attic was especially bad. The ceiling was caving in. Old, outdated furniture. But she really sees the vision. She sees herself in this house. While she's in the attic, she sees some old wheelchairs, what looks like medical equipment, and some very, very old beds. There's a sign that reads Mansfield Training School. She points to it and turns, asking the property manager, "What is the history of the home?" He basically tells her that he isn't sure, as the records have been lost. After the tour, Amy is even more convinced that she wants this house. She thinks it's gorgeous and sad that it's been left in this state, abandoned. She's determined to fix it up and even calls it her Picasso. The minimum bid for this house was $100,000. So Amy decides to go for it. Shortly after, the phone rings. It's the property manager. He tells her the news. She got the house. She is thrilled. One person that isn't is her daughter, Alyssa. Alyssa got a really strange vibe from the house and really didn't know what her mom saw in it, why she was so drawn to it, but her mom put a ton of money into the bid, so she was supportive. Then it got strange. Amy worked full-time, so she began going to the house at night to work on the place. She's eager to start on the house right away. She has a lot to do. She was planning on knocking down walls, basically restoring the house to its former glory. So all by herself, she started with the wallpaper. It was late one Friday night. She got to the house, goes inside, sets up her spotlight on the floor, climbs onto the stepladder, and begins ripping and scraping away moldy wallpaper. She's fully concentrating on this when suddenly she cuts herself. She jumps back, but continues on scraping. Then, it's like someone shoves her off the ladder. She flies back. And then, the sound of heavy running. Footsteps. Like someone was on the other side of the wall. Amy is terrified. She knows she's here alone in this empty, dark house, no neighbors around to help. Someone is clearly in there with her. She doesn't even look around. She sprints out the front door, hops in her car, and speeds off. She's shaking. The next day, she goes back to the house to investigate in the light of day. There really isn't anything there. She checks every room. There was no sign of anyone having been there. And although she's unsettled by this, she just keeps going. Weeks turn to months, and Amy is so busy with the renovations. Finally, 3 months later, Amy has gotten the house to a point she feels her daughter Alyssa and her can live there, so they move in. Alyssa is still very uneasy about the house. She said she just had that feeling like they shouldn't have moved there. Maybe she just needs to check it out more. She was looking around the house that first day. She's kind of exploring, looking through rooms, and she sees this odd-looking door going up to the third floor, which is the attic. It just looks ominous. The door had chipped paint and this old latch on it. She's creeped out, but also curious. So she slowly opens the door and walks up the stairs. She gets to the attic and it's dark, eerie. She's looking around, getting this really bad feeling the longer she's there. When suddenly, she feels someone right behind her, breathing down on her, saying she knew it was something dark, evil. Alyssa takes off, flies down the stairs, and sprints out of the house. She tells her mom about it, and Amy says, "It was probably nothing." But Alyssa was sure it was something. A few weeks pass by. One evening, Amy and Alyssa are in the kitchen getting dinner ready. They're talking about their day when all of a sudden, they hear loud footsteps coming from upstairs. No one else is in the house but them. Amy goes upstairs to look around with a hammer. Alyssa is too scared. She won't even go up. Amy checks every bedroom, every closet, and finds no one. No explanation for these loud stomping footstep sounds they both clearly heard. Very similar to what Amy experienced that first night renovating. Amy doesn't even want to think that the house is haunted. She knows there's something strange going on, though. This continued on. The more work Amy did on the house, the worse it got. They would hear doors slamming shut in empty parts of the house. If they were upstairs, they'd hear footsteps downstairs. If they were downstairs, they would hear footsteps upstairs. And they started to notice something very unsettling. Every day, Amy and Alyssa would find the attic door open. They'd walk past it, shut it, latch it. But the next time they'd walk by, it would be open again. This happens day after day. Amy finally takes this little piece of metal and wedges it against the latch so that it could not open on its own. She turns to walk back down the hallway when from behind her, she hears it. That metal piece fell to the ground, the door slowly creaking open again. A few nights later, Alyssa's in her room on the second floor getting ready for bed when she hears this moaning sound coming from her mom's bedroom. She walks out into the hallway, bangs on her mom's door, kind of asking, "What's going on?" No response. She continues to hear this moaning sound coming from in there. She's like, "Mom, what are you doing?" Then she remembered she had just watched her mom leave the house just a bit ago. She was home alone. Alyssa's had her stomach dropped. She feels like she's going to be sick. And then she hears it. From behind her, the attic door slowly unlatches and the door slowly creaks open. Alyssa takes off running down the stairs and out of the house. Shortly after this, Alyssa made the decision to move out. She moved in with a boyfriend, saying she didn't necessarily want to, but she just had to get out of that house. She was so deeply disturbed living there by what she was seeing and hearing and feeling. The house terrified her. She said she was worried for her mom living there alone, but she just couldn't do it anymore. This is pretty scary. Amy is now living in this house alone. She continued to renovate the home and needed a dishwasher installed. So she calls and has an electrician come out to the house. He gets there one afternoon and she directs him to the basement where the main panel was. This man heads down to the basement. And then what seems like just moments later, he runs back upstairs. He sprints out the front door towards his car. This electrician is petrified. Amy runs after him, asking, "What happened? What's going on?" This man tells Amy that he walked down the steps to the basement, turned the corner, and then from behind him, he felt a hand on his shoulder, grabbing him. He turned around, no one was there, but he is so scared, he immediately leaves, telling Amy, "Sorry, I'm not going to be able to finish this job." He's back in his van, and before she knows it, he's gone down the road. So Amy, Alyssa, and now this electrician, all experiencing activity here. And this is where things get even more bizarre. Shortly after this, a friend of Amy's, a detective named Dave McGann, moved into the house. He was going through a divorce and was looking for a place to stay. Amy said, "Hey, I'm here all alone, so if you need a room, move in with me." There were 9 bedrooms in this house, so she had plenty of space. Dave had been a police officer for over 20 years. So when Amy told him that there were some strange sounds in the house, some unexplained activity, he really doesn't think much of it. He's a police officer. There's really nothing that could shake him at this point. And he actually doesn't really even believe it's paranormal. Until one evening, Amy was at work for the night, and Dave is in his bedroom upstairs, watching TV, having some dinner. He begins to hear the floorboards creaking outside his bedroom door. His door is closed, but he listens. It sounds like someone is in the hallway. Then, from under his door, he sees something that makes his stomach drop, a shadow quickly moving past his doorway. Dave knows Amy is gone at work. She isn't supposed to be back for hours. So he grabs his gun, walks out into the hallway. His head is on a swivel, checking everywhere, every room. And he finds no one. This rattles him. A bit later, he gathers up his dinner plate and cup and walks down the stairs towards the kitchen. And as he gets to the first floor, he turns, and a dark, demonic-looking entity slides directly in front of him, within inches of his face. And then as quickly as it appeared, it disappeared. Dave is absolutely stunned. This was unlike anything he had ever seen or experienced in his 20 years as a police officer. He knew what he saw and experienced, but he couldn't explain it. Another evening, Dave is again in his room watching TV when a water bottle lifts up out of the trash can and flies across the room, thrown with incredible force. And then he hears this low, demonic growling sound. And that same night, just downstairs, Amy got home from work. She's sitting down watching TV, relaxing, when she hears from behind her, the door unlatch, feels something enter the room, comes up behind her, then hears that low, demonic growling sound, like it's right behind her ear. She's too terrified to even turn around, but when she does, the door is closed and there is nothing there. Dave said there was no rational explanation for the things that he saw, heard, and felt in that house. But Dave was so disturbed, he up and leaves the house. He grabs his belongings and he takes off. Whatever he saw, he said, it was real. And these experiences, these encounters, were getting to be so disturbing, he had to get out of that house. He felt bad leaving Amy as she was exhausted with the activity, but at this time, Amy's son was going to be moving in with her. So Dave felt at least she wouldn't be alone there. So it's interesting, only Dave has seen the entity at this point. Amy and Alyssa have heard and felt it. But based off Dave's description, this does not seem like a friendly presence. This seems demonic. And had a 20-year police officer completely freaked out. So Amy's son, Bill, and his fiance, Casey, and their baby move into the home. And then it gets really bad. They're settling in. One day, Casey puts their son down for a nap. They call him Bubba. She puts him in his crib while she goes downstairs to make something to eat in the kitchen. She has his baby monitor near his crib, and she takes the other device down in case he starts crying or needs anything. A few minutes later, she's downstairs preparing some lunch when she hears something, a distorted melody coming from the baby monitor, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. She's listening to it, and she's trying to think of where this is coming from. The sound is clearly coming from her son's room, but there were no toys in his crib. She's thinking about it, and she doesn't even have anything in the room that plays that song. Strange. Then it stops. Then a few seconds later, it starts up again. She's listening intently, trying to figure out where that could be coming from. Was this some sort of interference? And then she hears it. A horrifying, low, demonic voice screams from the baby monitor. It said, Bubba, her son's name. And then her son starts screaming. She flies up the stairs into the nursery, grabbing her son. She's petrified. She finds the nursery empty, but she is convinced there is something demonic in the home. Her fiance, Bill, Amy's son, had just been laid off, so they didn't have the money to move into a new place at that time. So she hung a photo of Jesus in her son's room by his crib, along with a crucifix, wanting protection for her son. She says she is truly scared of whatever is in this house and doesn't want anything to happen to Bubba. And then the nightmares began. Everyone living in the mansion began having very disturbing dreams. Bill would have dreams of hurting Casey. Amy had dreams where she was a young girl in the house, in a different time, and she felt the girl died in the home. Amy got the impression that something horrible had happened in that house. She just didn't know what. But then she found out. One night, she was out, and she ran into a friend. She told him about the house and this man who had lived in Mansfield a long time. Nonchalantly says, "Well, you know what that house was, right?" Amy shrugs her shoulders and says, "No." He tells her it was the Mansfield Training School. It was a mental asylum. It all began to make sense for Amy. That first day when she toured the home, she found all that stuff in the attic. The Mansfield sign, the beds, the wheelchairs. Amy decides to do some research and looks into historical records and finds reports from 1917. Her house used to be the superintendent's house and reads there were horrific abuse allegations there. Back at that time, it wasn't called Mansfield Training School. It was called House of Imbeciles, and it opened in 1860. Heartbreaking, she sees there were many children at this hospital. And it was clear the way of thinking at this mental asylum was really to look down on conditions that people have no control over, such as epilepsy. Through her research, she found that lobotomies were performed there, electroshock therapy, and newspaper articles confirmed there were allegations of abuse in that very house from hospital staff, and even the death of a young patient there. Amy believed that this was the young patient she dreamed of. This is horrifying for Amy to find out, but it all began to click. The experiences, the energy. But in the basement, there was always that mysterious stone structure. After finding out that her house used to be a mental asylum, Amy and her son used a crowbar to find out what was inside of that stone structure. When they first opened it up, it just looked like dirt. But as they took a closer look, they believed it was cremated remains. As of 2011, Amy, Bill, and Casey lived in the home still, and the remains were given to the state pathologist for further research and investigation. I've searched to see if there's any update, but I haven't been able to find much, which makes this story all the stranger, as we don't know what's going on in the house today. I read some reports that it was connected to the UConn campus, but other reports said that a family still lives there. And if another family's moved in, they haven't spoken about it. But I gotta know, what do you think was going on in the Mansfield Mansion? Do you believe it's haunted? If not, how do you explain all of these different witnesses having similar eerie encounters? Amy, her family, the electrician, Dave, the detective. It seems like a pretty dark place based on its history, but I gotta know your thoughts. Let me know in the comments.